God is good all the time, not part of the time, not only when I want him to be good. He's good all the time. He is always righteous. He is always justified. He is always glorified. He is always sanctified. We know that several years ago, the commandment came that we should sanctify the Lord. Well, does that mean one day a week, or does that mean 7 days a week? Does that mean a world without days? Does that mean we can walk in the eternities of God and sanctify the Lord? It absolutely does mean it. That's what the provision is in the end, or in perfection, is that we sanctify the Lord every moment of every day, because we are walking in the eternities of God, in a place where time is no more, and our mind is free from the constraints of what we face in our lives in the earth. So I'm going to read to you this morning out of the book of Ephesians. And I was praying, and the phrase came to me in my prayer, make all men see. I thought, I know where that scripture's at. Where's that scripture? And so I looked it up, and it is in the book of Ephesians, which I believe is one of the most prophetic books in the Bible. Not to single any book out of the Bible. It's just that when we talk about prophecy and things in prophecy, the book of Ephesians is very prophetic when it comes to the body of Christ and the will of God and the end of our salvation. It's awesome. So I'm going to start reading in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter, and it says this. And I want you to hear how the apostle phrases it, because he puts himself in a place of hearing in order to speak. And if we could put ourselves in a place of hearing in order to speak, we will hear. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Where did he put himself? At the bottom. I am the less of the least of all saints. So was his mind puffed up according to his knowledge? No. He humbled himself before the Lord his God. Even though he was a Pharisee of Pharisees at one point in his life and knew the Word of God upside down and backwards, basically, if I could say it that way for you this morning. The way he says it is, there was no man above me when it came to understanding the law. That means he was pretty puffed up in what he knew or understood about the Word of God, about the law. Correct? That's what made him a Pharisee of Pharisees. So to see where he's at now, in putting himself in a place to where he can hear the Word of God, and in order to speak the Word of God, we have to be able to hear the Word of God and hear it right, not according to our knowledge. And so if you have to be abased in yourself to come to the place where you can hear the Word of God so that you can speak the Word of God, amen. God bless you for allowing God to put you in a place where you can become a hearer of the Word. It's interesting. I've heard every deacon say at one point or another, well, we just can't speak like the elders speak. How many of you know that that's a lie? In every one of you. It's a lie that works in every son. And that's not being humble when we say that I'll never be able to speak like an elder. That is a lie. That's not being humble. Humble comes from a contrite heart that knows he's in the will of God and knows that God's efforts and God's work in him is to perfect him in all that God is. That's an amazing thing. And so as long as I say that I can never speak like an elder, then what am I never going to allow God to do? Never allow me to hear the Word of God to where I can speak like an elder. I've taken myself out of that thought. But here's the thing. God is helping you to overcome a spirit that would cause you to think in such a way that that makes it not true. Because what you're saying is that I can't hear the word of God in such a way to speak it. And that is a lie. That's an absolute lie that works in your members. So unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Now listen. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That he can speak among the Gentiles. What's a Gentile? Anybody remember what a Gentile is? Is it not a thought that doesn't know God? It's a thought. What's an Israelite? It's a thought that knows God. So you have thoughts that know God, just don't serve him as God. And you have thoughts that don't know God, but want to serve him as God. So when Jesus died on the cross, Israel rejected him, right? So Jesus turned to the Gentile to open the door to the Gentiles that they might come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that in Christ Jesus, this wall of partition that exists between Jew and Gentile, in Christ Jesus, what happens to the wall? It gets torn down. Second chapter of the book of Ephesians, if you want to know where it's at. It gets torn down that all men might see. So let me go on. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, importance here. Make all men see what is what? The fellowship, the communication of the mystery of Jesus Christ. So we know from the book of Colossians, and we've spoken this scripture, well, we spoke it before we came into Living Fellowship, and in Living Fellowship, it's been used greatly, that the revelation of the mystery is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so in that fellowship then is where we find our commonness one to another, or our completeness, or our speech that causes us to become one person, one man. In that fellowship of the mystery is where all things are made known to all men. Wow. I'm not talking about men outwardly. I'm talking about how we see our world in and of ourselves in relationship to Jesus Christ. Isn't that how we always communicate it? We communicate it to the world within, because that's the world that I'm being raised up to and sent to overcome. True or not true? It's true. So if I'm going to let God raise me up to become a testimony or a witness of Jesus Christ, where am I going to witness it? In my world, right? The world is being made known to me. The world I'm being sent to, that's where I'm going to bring it forth. Now, if that's true then, is there a manifestation of that even in me in this physical body? Yes. Don't tell me no, because that is not true. It's true that the manifestation is being made known. And I'm very thankful for it. I'm very thankful for those. Any man who comes to the place where has believed God to the extent that he has forsaken his life and given his life for the sake of the ministry or the work of God, I call that an awesome person. I will give my life for those people. And they might not even all be in Living Fellowship. They could be anywhere at any time ministering the word of truth. But what I know about them is just like when I go to Arizona and I see, I listen to Mike's pastor, Jamie, down there. Listen, I know a man there that is passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so my heart, my compassion goes out to that man because he has given his life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not as though it's perfect, but believing that perfection is going to come. Amen? I'm thankful for that. So, man, I'll tell you, there are many of us who have forsaken our life and given our life for the sake of the gospel, that we might come to the place where we can hear the word of God, put ourselves in a place where we can hear the word of God, and when we rise up because of hearing the word of God to speak it, we can begin to reveal the mysteries of Jesus Christ, the unsearchable mystery whom we call Jesus Christ. And we are all in a place to hear the word of God in order for that to begin to work in us. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So even from the beginning of the world was the fellowship of the mystery hidden. But isn't it now being made known? That's the glory that we have come to. God has brought us asunder to a place where the revelation of the mystery is being made known so that we have this fellowship one to another. And if we forsake the fellowship, what are we forsaking? We are forsaking the will of God. And so, I'm not giving up on fellowship. I'm not giving up on the communication of the word of God being revealed one to another. Amen? Are you thankful for that? I know my life depends on it, just so you know. My life in God depends on that fellowship. And I'm thankful for it. To the intent. Now, does God always have intent? Yes. Doesn't he send the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? Because he has intent, right? And he wants to separate in the heart thought and intent, correct? Hebrews 4 and 12. He wants to separate thought and intent so that it comes forth in the revelation of Jesus Christ, always. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, where in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So does it say in earthly places, or does it say heavenly places? It says heavenly. So then is the mystery, the revelation of the mystery, is it in the earth or is it in the heaven? It's in the heavens. And as long as we are willing to be in the earth, the revelation of the mystery will not make itself known to us because we are not fellowshipping in the spirit of truth. We want to keep our fellowship in the earth. I hope that speaks deeply to you this morning, because there is a place for the word of God in us to bring us into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to where the fellowship of the mystery becomes the love of God being expressed to every soul that can hear. So if I'm putting myself in a place to hear the word of God, then I am putting myself in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's why in the book of Colossians it also says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Does it say that in Colossians, the third chapter? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So how great is the wisdom of God? Endless. It's manifold. It's without end. Without beginning, without end. Without father, without mother. Just like the priest of God who is Melchizedek. Does God know who Melchizedek is? Yes. Do you know who Melchizedek is? No. You know him in name, but you don't know him in resource or power. And to know him just in knowledge is, Paul's already told you, it's nothing, right? Let me turn to Colossians just to go back and and read it for you. Now listen to this, because last week, what did we talk about? Last week, we talked about being baptized into Christ, correct? We're baptized into his death. I get baptized into Christ's death. What happens to my sin? It's gone. And if my sin's gone, then what's available to me now? Yeah, but how's that happen? I'm resurrected. I'm a new man. Sin's removed, right? I've gone through the operation of circumcision. The old man, the old nature's been cut away. Now I can raise up in Christ Jesus' resurrection as a new man. Not perfect yet, but I've now been put in a place where perfection is there. I now have the objective that at the end of my growing up as a perfect man, I will be perfect. Amen? Was Jesus perfect? So when I know the Lord in the fullness of his stature, will I know him as being perfect? And how will I know? Because I will be perfect. I will be like him. That's how I will know him, according to 1 John chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Okay. Seek what? Those things that are where? Above. So let's go back and talk about prayer for just a moment. Can we? Are you good with that? So we were talking about prayer just a moment ago. If I pray earthly things, what's my answer going to be? Yeah, it's going to be earthly things. In fact, the very thing that I want to be delivered out of, I cannot. But if I pray with my affection set on heavenly things, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father, what's going to happen to my thoughts? They're going to ascend. I'm putting myself in a place where I can hear the Word of God. And I know from the Scripture in Isaiah that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and God's ways higher than my ways. Amen? So that as I hear, then, just like Paul in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, when Paul set himself in a place to hear the Word of God, whether in the body or out of the body, he says he didn't know. But such a man ascended into the third heaven and heard things that are unspeakable, are not lawful for a man to hear. Do you mean that Paul went to the place where he could hear the mystery of Christ? So now he can hear the mystery of God. So now can he be sent to the Gentile to deliver the unspeakable mysteries of the will of God to the Gentile? You know how important that was to the apostle? He testified of being an Israelite, a Hebrew, a Pharisee, knowing the law upside down and backwards. But what about the Gentile? What were his thoughts towards the Gentile? Do you know? He hated them. He hated them. So Christ came to him, made him alive. And when Christ quickened him and anointed him, he tore down that wall where he harbored hatred towards half the thoughts of God, maybe even more than half. How could you come into the will of God and be perfect if half your thoughts are still your own and don't know the will of God? But if I put myself in a place to hear the word of God, I humble myself. I let all my knowledge go out the door. And I mean all of it. I don't mean just the parts I want to pick and choose. I mean all of it. Let it go. And abase myself before the living God. and let him begin to build me up by the power of his word, to where even the unsearchable mysteries of God become revealed in my mind, that I might know God after God's heart and not after my own. Do you think Paul was changed? Oh, man. I believe that that man was changed more than what he says when he speaks his epistles to us. I believe that what he was before and what he became, there was such a miraculous growth in his thoughts that it would be hard for a man to even express it to another man. And that's why we want to have the fellowship in the unsearchable, how does it put it here? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Because if my fellowship is in how I can say it, I'm going to miss something. But if my fellowship is in the unsearchable riches of Christ and the mystery of who he is and the mystery of what he has said that we are to become, then this fellowship that we will have one to another, will it not change us all? We will not be the same in the eyes of one another or in the eyes of ourselves anymore. We will see as God sees. Wouldn't it be awesome to address one another like, I know this sounds fleshly, this sounds in this place, right? But it is in this place. That's how I know you. But wouldn't it be awesome if I looked at each one of you and I knew you as God knows you in heaven, and I could describe it, not according to the flesh, but according to the will of God. And as that description was made known, your hope would leap for joy. So when Mary went to her cousin Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth was already pregnant. She had a child in her of the Holy Ghost. And when Mary told Elizabeth what the angel of the Lord had come to tell her, what happened to the child that was in Elizabeth? It leaped. It was filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, the effectualness of what we have been given in the communication, in the fellowship of the Word of God is just that powerful today. The angel of the Lord has visited each and every one of us and given us the Word of God. It has done it. We just haven't been made aware of it yet or come to the consciousness of it. Do you think God wants you to come to the consciousness of these things? I know He does. Otherwise, the life of Christ would be in vain. This is what He came to perform in each and every one of us, that He might alter our minds or recreate us in His own image. In Colossians 3 again, set your affection on things above, not on the things in the earth. Now listen, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. So who's our life? Christ is. Do you think you need an appearing of Jesus Christ in your life? How many do you need? Maybe. So we know that in the appearing of Christ, when Christ appears the first time, how does He appear to us? Does anybody know? Hebrews, the 9th chapter, last verse. First time He appears in the flesh. To do what for you, though? Take away your sin. Second time He appears to you, He appears without sin, so that you understand and know your salvation is forevermore in the kingdom of God. It is written. Let me turn to that for you also. Hebrews. For Christ has not entered into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So where did Jesus go after his death? He went into heaven, but why did he do it? For us. Took his blood, took it to the Father, made an offering for sin forever, so that our sin remains no more. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now listen to this. And we've read this before and we have spoke about it before. But this is the objective of the will of God for us in believing in Jesus Christ. But now, once in the end of the world, if I got baptized into Christ, what happened to my world, John? It ended. It died. It's over. So that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what happens to my world? I get a new one. Now I have a new earth. But how do I know I have a new earth? I have a new heaven. Wow. But now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto him to men once to die, but after this the judgment. So you say when I got baptized into Christ, I got baptized into his death, and my world is over, and now judgment starts. True? Yeah. Now Christ has put me in the place where everything in my life, in my thoughts, in my world can be judged according to the truth. Everything. I am no longer in hiding. Wow. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now listen. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. So what's required of you in order to see the second coming of Jesus Christ? Huh? Well, how about looking for him? In other words, making your calling and election sure. You have become diligent in the things of God because of the experiences of the gospel of Jesus Christ that are in you of a hope. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time with what? No sin. Your sin's been removed. It's gone. So now what's laid at your feet? Salvation. What does it mean to be saved? Does it mean that now you are a manifest son? That you know God? You can hear his voice? Doesn't Jesus say that my sheep know my voice? Right? My sons know my voice, so that when the Father speaks, who can hear? The Son. The Son has made manifest the Father. And the Father has made manifest the Son. So now I have this fellowship between the Father and the Son that is continuous, eternal, life-giving expression of the Word of God, one to another, forevermore. Can you even imagine in your minds what the fellowship of the mystery before the beginning of the world can do effectually in you by the power in which it was given in Jesus Christ? Wow. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Who's the church? Say it again. Body of Christ? Is it the bride? Is it that which has made herself ready? Oh, man. Are you making yourself ready this morning? Because what we're talking about is that preparation, right? We've been talking the last 2 weeks about preparing ourselves to hear the Word of God, that when we hear it, We know where it's going to take us. We're prepared for the trip that God is putting us on. We have a parable in the Gospels where Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who went into a far country. Isn't that where you're headed? You're heading into a place that you don't know the traditions, you don't know the customs, and you don't know the language. You don't even know what kind of food you're going to be given to eat. That's where we're headed. But God is so gracious that as soon as we are willing to make the trip, he begins to show all of it to us so that we are translated from aliens and foreigners into a place of citizenship and sons. Isn't that awesome? According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of whom? Of him. Whose faith? Yours or his? His faith. So when we talk about faith, we are talking about God's faith, not ours. The faith that can cause us to rise from the dead. The faith that can cause us to be baptized or buried with him in his baptism. Believing by that same faith that we'll be raised again by the power of his resurrection. That we might have the fellowship of the word of God one to another in such completeness that even the revelation of the mysteries are being made known to us. A desire that even the angels looked into and couldn't have it. They are reserved in heaven for us. That's awesome. So, I hope that I've put your mind at a place this morning where there's great hope in what's taking place in you by the will of God. And that there is the endless possibilities of what God has in store for each and every one of us as we begin to diligently seek after the things that are wanting by the Word of God. And you know what? I get it. It's hard for us to separate our minds from the earth, especially the earth that we live in and have to deal with every day. But I want to reaffirm to you this morning that the possibility of that happening for you is ever present in Jesus Christ. You just have to give yourself to the Word of God to where it begins to change your perception and your consciousness of where you live each and every day. And let him draw you up into heaven and begin to show you the heavenly things in Christ Jesus, where the fellowship of the sufferings of the cross of Jesus Christ become your way of life, and it becomes your speech, and he puts it on the forefront of your minds so that your communication begins to change. It begins to be the fellowship of the mysteries of God in perfection. Isn't that awesome? God bless you this morning, and I hope I spoke to your heart. Thank you all for listening.